Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Wednesday, March 16th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
negotiations continue between Russia and Ukraine.
Ukrainian President Zelensky addresses the U.S. Congress this morning.
The Fed's interest rate liftoff expected to begin today.
And we'll tell you why Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index surged 9%.
A New York audit says nursing home deaths in the state were indeed undercounted. Plus, we're another step closer to keeping daylight saving time permanent. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshower in sports. 60 points for Kyrie Irving. The Nets win. The Rangers won in overtime. Anthony Rizzo resigned with the Yankees.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good morning. I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm John Tucker. Daybreak being brought to you by Interactive Brokers Global Analyst. Helps you find new global investment opportunities to diversify your portfolio and discover undervalued companies that may have greater growth potential. Try IBKR Global Analyst today at IBKR.com/GA.
And futures are higher this morning. We're 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures up 44 points, Dow futures up 284, and NASDAQ futures are up 224. John.
And Karen, we'll have more on the markets in just a minute. But first, Russia says there is hope for compromise, and Ukraine says Russia's positions sound, quote, more realistic. The latest from Bloomberg's Amy Morris in our 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said Russia's positions in the negotiations sound more realistic as the two sides are scheduled for another round of talks today. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov says there is some hope for compromise, but progress remains difficult. The overall military situation, however, is largely unchanged as Russian forces continue to strike infrastructure targets. This as President Biden prepares to travel to Brussels next week, and he is expected to announce another $800 million in military aid for Ukraine, including more anti-tank and anti-aircraft missiles. That would bring the total aid package just in the past week to $1 billion. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. Ukrainian President Zelensky is giving a virtual address before lawmakers in the U.S. later this morning. And we get more from Bloomberg's Joe Matthew.
He's going to be speaking to Congress, essentially a joint session. They're not going to be in the House chamber. They'll have an auditorium set aside in the Capitol complex for this because it will be a virtual address. It's supposed to be about 9 o'clock. And he's going to say thank you, having, by the way, met privately, virtually, but privately with lawmakers 2 weekends ago. This is going to be provided to the networks. It's going to be streamed online. People are going to watch this on TV. So his audience is very different now as he tries to make the case for more military hardware, if not a no-fly zone. And so far, the answer from the Pentagon on that one has been no.
All right. Thanks, Joe. Well, Joe Matthew will have analysis of President Zelensky's address later today on Bloomberg Sound On at 5 p.m. Eastern. Plus, you can catch President Zelensky's address live this morning at 9 a.m. on both Bloomberg Radio and television.
And another major story investors are following this morning, also centered in Washington. The Fed is widely expected to begin its interest rate liftoff. Let's get a preview from Bloomberg's Michael McKee.
The what has been priced into markets. The Fed will raise the nation's benchmark interest rate by 25 basis points. It's the what next that investors want to know. How many rate moves and how quickly, when and how do they start reducing the size of their balance sheet? Look to the new dot plot and economic forecasts for clues. And listen to Chairman Jay Powell explain how fast inflation comes down and how the Fed avoids recession. Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And thanks, Mike. Full coverage of the Fed decision and Jay Powell's news conference begins at 1:30 p.m. Wall Street time right here on Bloomberg Radio and Television.
Well, turning to the markets now, John, stocks in Hong Kong surged 9% amid a pledge from China to keep capital markets stable. We get the recap from Bloomberg's Juliet Sally in Singapore. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, John and Karen. The Hang Seng Tech Index rebounded from a brutal sell-off to jump the most on record, lifting sentiment across the Asia Pacific. Hong Kong's Hang Seng Index had its biggest one-day gain since 2008. China's CSI 300 jumped the most since July 2020. Equities in China and Hong Kong had had been under pressure, shredding $1.5 trillion combined over the first 2 days of this week on regulatory fears and speculation that Beijing's ties with Russia raise the risk of a U.S. backlash. In Singapore, Juliet Saleh, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thanks. There are problems once again with nickel trading on the London Metal Exchange. Now let's go live to London now, get the latest with Bloomberg's Max Ramsey. Max.
Morning, John and Karen. We've seen real chaos in this nickel market, and it does continue today. The London Metal Exchange finally reopened trading around 2 hours ago after a week-long suspension. Straight away, it fell through this new 5% daily limit that the LME had set, and the exchange then halted electronic trading of nickel contracts due to what they called a technical issue with that limit. Though phone-based trading is open, we'll have in-person trading later today. But in terms of the price action, signs then of an easing of that historic short squeeze with the fall we saw earlier. Live in London, Max Ramsey, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Max, thank you. UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson began a visit to the United Arab Emirates and Saudi Arabia in hopes of convincing leaders to ramp up oil production. Bloomberg's Simone Foxman says it'll take some persuading.
We've seen both countries a bit resistant to plans to increase production by OPEC, OPEC Plus. In the past, the UAE has seemed to, in recent days, become a little bit more amenable that there's just not enough oil being produced.
And Bloomberg's Simone Foxman says Johnson hopes more production will ease energy prices. And checking oil right now, NYMEX crude oil up 0.4% at $96.86 a barrel. Brent is up 1% at $100.86.
And turning to the pandemic, Pfizer has asked U.S. regulators to approve a second coronavirus booster shot for senior citizens. The latest now from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, John. Pfizer says Israel had already started offering a fourth shot to older people and healthcare workers last year as Omicron circulated. And the data shows the fourth shot given at least 4 months after the third reduced the rate of infection and severe illness. That's compared to those who were given just one booster shot. The analysis was for over 1.1 million adults 60 and older and with no known history of COVID infection. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Renita, thanks very much. Head of the cash open on Wall Street, Dow futures right now, 288 points higher. S&P E-mini futures up 45, and the NASDAQ futures up 226 points. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. It's now 6:07 on Wall Street. Let's bring in Michael Barr to find out what else is going on in New York and around the world.
John, thank you very much, sir. New York's Department of Health underreported the number of nursing home deaths by as much as 50% during certain periods of the COVID-19 pandemic. That's according to an audit that criticized former Governor Andrew Cuomo's administration for faulty data collection and misleading statistics. The audit from the state comptroller says at least 4,100 nursing home deaths weren't accounted for from April of 2020 to February of 2021. The suspect accused of gunning down several homeless people on the streets of New York City and Washington, D.C. remains in custody. 30-year-old Gerald Brevard is accused of killing at least two people and wounding three others over the past month. He was arrested at a Washington, D.C. gas station. Brevard's father spoke after his son's arrest, revealing they don't know why his son chose to do what he did.
I don't know. Put my hands around him and hug him and just ask why.
Brevard's father told ABC he tried to get his son committed, but couldn't because he is an adult. Americans would no longer need to change their clocks twice a year under a bipartisan proposal that passed the Senate. Legislation introduced by Senators Ed Markey and Marco Rubio would make daylight saving time permanent across the country. Senator Marco Rubio noted its appeal.
It's an eclectic collection of members of the United States Senate in favor of what we've just done here in the Senate, and that's to pass a bill to make a daylight savings time permanent.
The measure still needs approval from the House. South Korea says North Korea fired an unidentified projectile, but it is presumed that it failed immediately after launch. It was the 10th such weapons test this year. Second Gentleman Doug Emhoff tested positive for COVID-19. It prompted Vice President Kamala Harris to cancel her appearance at an equal pay event last night at the White House. Harris tested negative for the virus. President Biden.
Kamala chose not to take a chance since her husband had contracted COVID, although he's feeling very well, I'm told. By the way, when he tested, he's fine, but out of abundance of caution, she decided she wasn't going to join us today. But let's send her our love, because she's something else.
President Biden also said during the event, Women's History Month is an opportunity to honor the vision and the achievements of trailblazing women and girls. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. And it's coming up on 610 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update. And here's John Stashower.
Thanks, John. When Kyrie Irving isn't making news for not getting the vaccine and the controversy over him not being allowed to play home games, he's playing at least on the road. And last night, Kyrie put on a show.
Irving, left wing three. Good! There's 60 for Kyrie Irving. A franchise record, a career high. Kyrie Irving puts the Nets up 131-94 with 8.5 to go in the fourth quarter. A timeout Orlando.
WFAN had it. Irving then got taken out, so he could have scored a lot more. He had 41 points at halftime. First NBA player to do that in 5 years. The Nets walloped the Magic 150-108, but tonight's game is at home, so Irving can sit in the stands, but he can't play. And now there are questions about Met and Yankee players who haven't gotten the vaccine. Apparently it's the same for outdoor sporting events. And when Aaron Judge was asked if he's vaccinated, he sidestepped the question. The Yankees are bringing back Anthony Rizzo to play first base. Acquired last summer after a decade with the Cubs, he was a free agent. The Yanks now have a surplus of infielders. Someone like Luke Voit and or Gleyber Torres may now have to go. At the Garden, Rangers, a 4-3 overtime win over Anaheim. Adam Fox, the game winner. He also had two assists. Chris Kreider, the game tying goal, is 39. Three assists for Artemi Panarin. Devils lost in Vancouver 6-3. The Islanders lost in Washington 4-3 in a shootout. The Giants signed the veteran Tyrod Taylor, so unlike last year when Daniel Jones got hurt, the Giants now have a dependable backup quarterback. The Jets signed two free agent defensive backs. Safety Jordan Whitehead, who'd been with Tampa Bay. Cornerback DJ Reed comes from Seattle. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. John.
John, thanks a lot. The futures right now indicate a higher open on Wall Street this morning. Dow futures 325 points higher, up about 1%. S&P futures, 50 points higher, up 1.2%. The NASDAQ futures, up 245, up 1.8%. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit your tri-state Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today. Visit AudiOffers.com for more information.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Stocks are surging. U.S. stock index futures are climbing as China's vow to stabilize battered markets lift sentiment after weeks of worries about war and high inflation. Treasuries steady and the dollar slipping ahead of the Federal Reserve's rate decision. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 57 points, Dow futures up 380, and NASDAQ futures up 257. That's up 1.9%. The DAX in Germany is up 2.8%. The 10-year Treasury down 5/32 now. The yield 2.16%. Yield on the 2-year 1.84%. NYMEX crude oil is moving lower. It's now down 1%. It's down 93 cents at $95.60 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.5% or $8.80 at $19.21 an ounce. The euro 1.1003 against the dollar. British pound 1.3068. The yen is at 118.33. And checking Bitcoin this morning, it's up almost 3% at $40,540. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. This just breaking on the Bloomberg terminal comes as Ukraine and Russia are talking today. According to the Kremlin, they want Ukraine to remain neutral. Ukraine's president is preparing to make a direct appeal for more help in a rare speech by foreign leaders to the U.S. Congress, even as Russia continued its bombardment of the Ukrainian capital. Reviewing his speech to Congress, President Volodymyr Zelensky thanked President Joe Biden and all the friends of Ukraine for $13.6 billion in new support. In the NBA, the Nets on the road beat the Magic 150-108. Kyrie Irving put up a 60 spot. In the NHL, the Rangers beat the Ducks in overtime 4-3. The Islanders lost in a shootout to the Capitals 4-3. The Devils lost. The Bruins won in OT against the Blackhawks 2-1. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 20
2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg John.
All right, Michael, thank you very much. 620 on Wall Street. We're live for the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. As Michael just mentioned, the Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky is going to deliver a virtual address to the Congress today. We're going to carry that speech live starting at 9 a.m. Wall Street time. And ahead of that, we did get these headlines. The Kremlin saying that a neutral Ukraine with its own army is a possible compromise option. The Kremlin also discussing Austria-Sweden neutrality model for Ukraine. Let's break all this down with Bloomberg Washington correspondent for radio and TV, Anne-Marie Hordern. Anne-Marie, good to talk to you. Thanks for being with us. Sounds a little more optimistic, but then again, you have to consider the source. This is coming from the Kremlin.
Yes, exactly. And good morning, John. Thanks for having me. So first, consider the source. We should note that the Kremlin has, for weeks leading up to the invasion, said Russia had no intentions of invading. And of course, we know that is not true. There is a war in Ukraine. But there have been diplomatic talks. There's another round of diplomatic talks today. And ahead of that, talking about the fact that the Kremlin is even discussing this model, this neutrality model, taking after what Austria has done, what Sweden has done, at the same time letting Ukraine have its own army, is moving in the right direction on the diplomacy front. And just so you have an idea of what a neutrality model looks like, Austria did this in the 1950s. And basically, they put in their constitution that they will remain neutral. They will not try to go enter into any sort of alliances, i.e., this would be a big deal because potentially this means Ukraine could not join NATO, but also they would not have any foreign military bases on their soil.
And as those negotiations take place, they're scheduled today between Ukraine and Russian officials. You have to remember also that the officials who are doing the negotiations for the Kremlin, they're not high-level individuals, are they?
No, they do report back, but you make a good point that a lot of reporting is out there, the fact that President Vladimir Putin has maintained a very, very small circle of individuals around him, from the FSB, which is the former KGB in Russia, the security apparatus. So it depends how much these individuals that are negotiating with the Ukrainians are actually connected to that inner circle. It's a very good point and a nuance that we should keep an eye on.
And Zelensky has said that the what has he have said about the positions that Russia has made?
Well, for the first part, the simple one is that they want Russia immediately to withdraw the troops. And they will say that Russia talks about peace, but at the same time, what is happening in terms of action on the ground has not stopped in terms of bombardment and missiles of cities, including a number of places where there's lots of civilians that are attempting and trying to evacuate. So for the first part, they want their words and rhetoric to match actions on the ground.
Okay. The speech today, the virtual speech to the Congress, it's going to harken back to, I got to imagine, Winston Churchill. He was the last wartime leader, I believe, to address Congress, and he's in good company. What's he going to say to the Congress?
Well, based off what he said to European leaders, as you mentioned, Winston Churchill, he has spoken to British Parliament, most recently to Canadian lawmakers. He really makes these impassioned, emotional speeches. And one of those, actually, his translator choked up because it was so emotional. But he will use this moment to try to implore Congress to push the administration to what he would say, close the skies. Now, many in Congress and the administration agree that there could be a no-fly zone. The president has said last week that basically means World War III, because you would have U.S. jets potentially striking down Russian jets. But potentially, President Volodymyr Zelensky could push Congress, especially Republicans, to put pressure on the administration to at least get Poland to transfer fighter jets over the Ukrainian border.
Hey, Emery, before you go, how does this play in the midterm elections?
It's a great question. I think that's twofold. One, most Americans, if you look at the polls, agree that what the administration is doing, that they should be putting harsh sanctions on President Putin for what is going on in Ukraine. But the second part of that is that there are economic consequences to what is happening back home. Russia is a massive commodity producer. Mostly the one that would affect America the most is obviously oil. They're the third biggest producer, second biggest exporter. That means higher gasoline prices. This administration has been struggling with inflation already, and that will only make it worse.
Always good to talk to you. Bloomberg Washington correspondent for radio and TV, Anne-Marie Hordern. And we're going to carry that speech by President Zelensky that should be around 9 o'clock, both on radio and television. Just a reminder of those headlines that we got. The Kremlin saying a neutral Ukraine with its own army possible. And so a little more optimistic as far as markets. S&P futures right now up 1.3%. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak brought to you by the Jewish Communal Fund. JCM's donor-advised fund is the smart choice to manage your philanthropy, especially in times of crises. Make your giving impactful. Visit jcfny.org.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Time for the five things you need to know to start your day. Brought to you by Interactive Brokers, simple IBKR Global Trader app. Deposit in your local currency and trade stocks in the U.S., Europe, and Asia. Start your free trial at IBKR.com/globaltrader. Up first, an update on talks from Russia. The Kremlin says a neutral Ukraine with its own army is a possible compromise option. The announcement comes amid continued shelling in Ukraine and negotiations happening today between Russian and Ukrainian leaders.
Meanwhile, President Biden expected to announce more than $1 billion in Ukraine military aid today. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has that story.
This will come from the $13.6 billion in aid that was passed by Congress and will provide anti-armor and anti-air systems that include javelins and stingers. As well, Secretary of State Antony Blinken is saying it will complement the humanitarian aid already being sent. This comes as Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky is scheduled to address Congress today in San Francisco. I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And thank you. Staying in Washington, an interest rate hike coming from the Federal Reserve. For more, here's Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice.
Economists say the Fed will raise its benchmark interest rate by a quarter point, the first rate increase since 2018. U.S. inflation is running at the highest levels in four decades, and gradual tightening will probably continue. Bloomberg Economics says in more normal times, such inflation data would support a larger Fed rate increase, a half-point increase. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Vinny. Another Fed note. President Biden's nominee for Fed Vice Chair of Supervision, Sarah Bloom Raskin, withdrew her candidacy after West Virginia Senator Joe Manchin said he would not support her.
And turning to markets now, John, U.S. futures and European equities are higher, and China's Hang Seng Index gained 9% after the country vowed to boost financial markets and stimulate economic growth.
Now to COVID. Pfizer asking U.S. regulators to approve a second coronavirus booster for seniors. With the latest live, here's Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, John. Pfizer says Israel already started offering a fourth shot to older people and healthcare workers last year. And the data shows the fourth shot, given at least 4 months after the third, reduced the rate of infection and severe illness. That's compared to those with one booster. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. And that's the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Again, S&P futures higher, up 55 points this morning. And straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street. And time to bring in Michael Barr to tell us what else is going on in New York and around the world.
John, thank you very much, sir. According to an audit, New York's Department of Health underreported the number of nursing home deaths by as much as 50% during certain periods of the COVID-19 pandemic. The audit from the state comptroller criticizes former Governor Andrew Cuomo's administration for faulty data collection and misleading statistics. It says at least 4,100 nursing home deaths weren't accounted for from April 2020 to February of 2021. A 30-year-old Washington, D.C. man with a history of assault arrests was charged with murder in connection with a string of shootings of homeless men in the nation's capital and New York City. Gerald Rivard was taken into custody by ATF agents in Southeast Washington and handed over to D.C.'s Metropolitan Police Department. He's being charged with first-degree murder and assault. Brevard's father says his son has battled a long history of mental issues.
I tried to get him committed, but they told me I couldn't because he's an adult.
Brevard's father spoke to ABC. Meanwhile, NYPD Commissioner Keechan Sewell also talked about the arrest of a suspect in the stabbing attack at the Museum of Modern Art.
Two cases, three cities, five agencies across multiple local, state, and federal jurisdictions. 48 hours of investigation, and now two arrests.
NYPD Commissioner Keechan Sewell. The Senate moved a giant step closer to making daylight saving time permanent in the U.S. The Senate gave unanimous consent to the Sunshine Protection Act. The bill would end the practice of turning clocks back 1 hour to standard time each November. Senator Marco Rubio.
Just this past weekend, we all went through that biannual ritual of changing the clock back and forth and the disruption that comes with it. And one has to ask themselves after a while, why do we keep doing it? Why are we doing this?
The bill still needs approval from the House. South Korea's military says a North Korean missile fired from its capital region exploded in midair in an apparent failed launch. Today's launch was detected amid speculation that the North could soon launch its longest-range missile in its most significant provocation since 2017. Second, gentleman Doug Emhoff tested positive for the coronavirus. Vice President Kamala Harris tested negative, but she canceled her appearance at an equal pay event last evening at the White House. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 6:36 on Wall Street. And it's time now for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stashever.
Thanks, John. The Yankees uncharacteristically quiet before the lockout, but busy this week. The big trade with Minnesota brought them a new catcher, two new infielders, and now a free agent signing, a re-signing of first baseman Anthony Rizzo. 2 years, $32 million. He can opt out after one. Rizzo, a cancer survivor, had not gotten the vaccine, at least last year, and Aaron Judge was asked if he's vaccinated. That's a yes or no question.
You know, I'm still focused on, you know, just getting through the first game of spring training, so I think we'll cross that bridge whenever, the time comes. But right now, so many things could change, so I'm not really too worried about that right now.
Apparently, the Kyrie Irving rule will apply to Met and Yankee players. If someone like Judge or Rizzo is unvaxxed, they can't play home games or games in Toronto. Speaking of Kyrie, a road game in Orlando, so he played, and he was amazing. A 25-point second quarter, a 41-point first half, a career high in Nets record, 60 points, and Irving got taken out with 8.5 minutes left in a Nets rout of the Magic, 150-108. At the Garden, Rangers win 4-3 over Anaheim. Adam Fox won it in overtime after Chris Kreider tied it with his 39th of the year. Devils lost in Vancouver. Islanders, a shootout loss in Washington. Career goal number 767 for Alex Ovechkin. Moves him past Jaromir Jagr into third all-time behind Wayne Gretzky and Gordie Howe. The Giants signed Tyrod Taylor to be their backup quarterback. This will be his 16th in 11-year career. Jets safety Marcus May signed in New Orleans. The Jets signed two free agents, safety Jordan Whitehead and cornerback DJ Reed. John Stashell, Bloomberg Sports. John.
All right, John, thanks. Coming up on 5:38 on Wall Street. And it's time now to take a look at stocks, some of the names that are moving in the pre-market. For that, we're joined by Bloomberg Radio and TV markets correspondent Kriti Gupta. Tomorrow is St. Patrick's Day, but Kriti, today there's lots of green on the screen.
Clever. Very clever.
That's the best I can do.
That was good.
Morning.
That was a good one. I didn't know where you were going with that, but good one.
You had this look of terror on your
face. I was like, what is he going to ask me? 10 stocks that are not in the green, and that's really significant here. You are seeing a fairly broad rally during the morning, to your point. But let's talk about what isn't doing well. It's a lot of those defense stocks that have had a pretty blockbuster rally in the last couple of weeks, a lot of that, of course, coming off of the situation in Ukraine, but also Germany really looking to spend more and more on their defense. So names like Lockheed Martin, Raytheon, Northrop Grumman, they've all been some of your high-flying stocks. Today, though, they are flying low. They are your laggards in this market. Lockheed Martin in particular, LMT is your ticker, down 1.3%. This comes after the Pentagon said it's going to request 61 F-35s in its next budget. That is 33 fewer stealth jets than previously planned, according to people familiar with the spending blueprint. Not great news, but it is dragging down some of those other defense stocks. So once again, Northrop Grumman, NOC is your ticker, down 0.9%. Raytheon as well, RTX is your ticker there, down 0.4%. But go beyond that, and most of it is in the green, and a lot of it is actually concentrated in tech. Semiconductors, for example, having a pretty good rally this morning. AMD, for example, AMD is also the ticker as well as the name of the company, up 2.7%. You also have the likes of NVIDIA, that big tech heavyweight. NVDA is your ticker there, up 2.4%. And Micron, MU, is your ticker there, up 4.4%. They're also enjoying an upgrade to outperform over at Bernstein, announcing a $94 price target.
And it seemed just like yesterday that we were talking about a bloodbath in China. That's no longer the case, right?
And that's probably where a lot of that sentiment is coming from when it comes to those technology names. Remember, a lot of these supply chains for semis goes back into Asia, goes back to China in particular. Well, overnight, we know that there has been that major sell-off, a 76% drop in those Chinese ADRs from peak to trough. You are actually seeing China take some active control, putting a little bit more liquidity into the system and creating a pretty large bounce back overnight in the Asian stock markets. And that's really where you're seeing a lot of these moves as well. So likes of Alibaba, JD, Tencent, Bilibili, those are all up today, of course, contrasting to the pretty aggressive sell-off we've seen in the last couple of weeks.
Kriti, always a pleasure. Thank you. Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta, thank you for joining us. And as we look at futures right now, doing better. Green on the screen, S&P 500 futures right now. 52 points higher. That's up 1.25%. The Dow futures of 361 points. That's a 1% rise. And the Nasdaq E-mini futures, they are up 246 points, a rise of 1.8% in this morning's session. As far as Treasuries, the 10-year 2.16%, up 2 basis points. This is Bloomberg. And the Bloomberg weather for today from meteorologist Rob Carolyn. Sunny and mild, the high temperature topping out at 65 degrees. Tomorrow, occasional light rain, the highs in the mid-50s.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures are rising this morning. We get the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are surging right now, helped by China's pledge to boost financial markets and to stimulate economic growth. Dow futures currently up 373 points. S&P's gained 56. NASDAQ futures rise by 260. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.17%. Gold and oil are both little changed, but Bitcoin trading higher by 2.4%. Hong Kong rose 9% overnight, while European markets are also in the green, led by 3% gains in France, Germany, and Italy. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, retail sales, and at 2 o'clock, the FOMC rate decision. In other news, Tesla suspended production at its Shanghai factory. And wrapping things up, Micron raised to outperform at Bernstein. SoFi Technologies was cut to equal weight over at Morgan Stanley. Live from the First Alert Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. To hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. A Ukrainian proposal to become a neutral country but retain its own armed forces could be viewed as a certain kind of compromise. That's according to Kremlin spokesman Dmitry Peskov, hinting at possible progress in peace negotiations. Meanwhile, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky will make a rare wartime address by a foreign leader to both chambers of Congress. He will plead with U.S. lawmakers by video conference for more aid as Russia invades its country. In the NBA, the Nets on the road beat the Magic 150-108. Kyrie Irving put up a 60 spot. In the NHL, the Rangers beat the Ducks in overtime 4-3. The Islanders lost in a shootout to the Capitals 4-3. The Devils lost. The Bruins won in OT against the Blackhawks 2-1. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Karen.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 6:49 on Wall Street. We turn to news in science and technology now with a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, ranked in the top 2% nationally for alumni mid-career earnings and number one in the nation for student upward economic mobility. More at njit.edu. And now here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. Pfizer has asked U.S. regulators to approve a second coronavirus booster shot for senior citizens. It's an attempt to protect vulnerable adults when immunity provided by the first three doses decreases. Pfizer and its German partner BioNTech submitted data from Israel, which started giving a fourth shot to older people and healthcare workers last year. The CEO of Delta says, as far as the travel industry is concerned, the coronavirus crisis is effectively over. Speaking in London, Ed Bastian said that Delta had the two busiest days for sales in its almost 100-year history last week. And this is nothing to sneeze about. According to a new study in the journal Nature Communications, allergy season will start weeks earlier and end many days later, and it'll be worse while it lasts, with pollen levels that could as much as triple in some places. Climate scientists at the University of Michigan say it's because of climate change. They say warmer weather allows plants to start blooming earlier and keeps them blooming later. Meanwhile, additional carbon dioxide in the air from burning fuels such as coal, gasoline, and natural gas helps plants produce more pollen. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. John.
I can't wait. Thanks, Karen. Just a few minutes ago, we got what seemed like some promising headlines out of the Kremlin discussing an Austria-Sweden neutrality model for Ukraine. Also out of the Kremlin, neutral Ukraine with its own army, possible compromise option. Let's get dive a little deeper into these this morning. Bloomberg Executive Editor for International Government, Rosalind Matheson, back with us. So where do we stand on negotiations, Roz, between Russia and Ukraine, and what do we make of those headlines that we just got?
Well, certainly it seems like they are talking and they are actually putting a little bit of meat on the table about what some sort of compromise might look like. But obviously there are very big gulfs that remain in terms of what Ukraine might suggest or Russia would accept. Ukraine, of course, has said it won't cede any territory. It still wants more weapons and support from NATO. It wants consideration to join the European Union. And somewhere in all of that, they seem to be hoping they can strike a deal with Russia that classes them as neutral. What Russia is saying is that they're looking at the idea of some sort of Swedish or Austrian-style neutrality that would allow, of course, Ukraine to retain its army. In the case of a Swedish model, it would allow it to also keep producing weapons. But how that would all work in practicality, it's very hard to see, because Ukraine immediately came out and said, well, the only model that we would talk about would be one you'd call Ukrainian. Obviously, therefore, fit for purpose just for us and not based on what another country has experienced. So it sounds like they're kind of talking themselves around in circles a little bit about what an agreeable model would look like, let alone then the terms under which that might not just be put into place, but would then continue to hold for any period beyond a couple of days.
And then there's Vladimir Putin. I mean, the last I heard from him, he didn't sound all that optimistic.
Well, that's right. Just as yesterday, he said that he didn't believe that Ukraine was negotiating in good faith. So if you can make those comments and then less than a day later say that you're moving towards some kind of understanding, you really have to wonder whether they are really that close to an agreement. Certainly, Ukraine's been pushing, at the very least, for a ceasefire that's broader in scope than what we've seen so far, perhaps something that's nationwide and for a couple of days to allow some further safe passage of people. But getting a ceasefire is one thing. Getting a peace deal is another entirely, and certainly a peace deal wouldn't come to fruition unless the Russian president himself signed off on it.
And talks are taking place today. Where do we stand on that?
Well, that's right. These officials have been meeting. They've actually started meeting by video conference instead of being in person. It was taking too long to trek to a neutral part of the border to do so. So they've started to do these calls every day via video conference. But they're still at sort of a semi-low level for officials. These are not senior ministers who are meeting. Obviously, they're carrying messages back through their capitals to hire people to discuss, but they can't strike a deal themselves. They have to sort of take those proposals back to senior officials to consider and perhaps make some proposals. So what we're seeing today is probably like further message passing between those lower-level officials on this.
Bloomberg Executive Editor for International Government, Rosalind Matheson. Roz, thanks very much. We appreciate it. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. It is 6:54 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky set to deliver a virtual address to Congress today. And then President Biden, he's going to travel to Europe for a NATO and European Union summits next week. And President Biden's picked atop the U.S. banking regulator running aground. And let's bring in right now from the Bloomberg Washington headquarters, Emily Wilkinson, Bloomberg government reporter. Wilkins, Bloomberg government reporter with the very latest. Let's start with Zelensky delivering this virtual address to Congress. You're going to be in the room too, right?
I will. Yes. I'll be in the room. It's going to be lawmakers, House and Senate, Republicans and Democrats. And this is a group of individuals who has a lot of support for Zelensky, who wants to do almost everything they can to be able to deliver on what he is going to ask for. We know from reporting from the New York Times that Ukrainian officials do plan to present the U.S. with a list of military equipment they need, including armed drones and mobile air defense systems. But at this point, Washington not going to be able to give Zelensky everything he wants. There's still concerns about setting up a no-fly zone. And while there's a growing desire among lawmakers to find a way to get Ukraine the MiG-29 fighter jets, it's an idea that the White House has continued to reject. And so it's going to be interesting to see the dynamics play out here between what Zelensky is asking of Congress, what Congress is willing to give, and sort of how that moves the Biden administration in terms of what kind of aid they're thinking about providing. We saw the Wall Street Journal report yesterday that the Biden administration is going to announce more than $1 billion in new military assistance. We know that Biden's going to be speaking a little bit later this morning. But one thing to really note, John, is that to a certain extent, Congress has been the lead here on getting Zelensky the aid that he is requesting for Ukraine. They were the first to move on the oil ban. They were the first to move on normalizing trade relations, which they're still working on for that second point. But definitely going to be keeping a close eye on what the ask is going to be and how much pressure lawmakers want to put on the White House to ensure they're delivering it.
Yeah, real quick, underscoring the importance of all this, the president is traveling next week.
Yep, he'll be going to Brussels. He'll be attending a NATO and EU summits. And this comes at a time, of course, Biden's goal for the whole duration of this conflict has been to really move with his European allies to sort of have everyone present a very united front. And I think this trip is an extension of that goal for the Biden administration.
All right. How does this play with the midterm elections, real quick, Emily?
I mean, at this point, it's a little too soon to tell, but we are seeing Biden's poll numbers rising. We know that a majority of Americans are fine with higher gas prices if that means that they are supporting Ukraine. I was talking with a lawmaker yesterday who said that, you know, American people are very much on board, that they're sick to their stomachs with the yeah. images that they're seeing. And lawmakers in Washington are really feeling that sentiment.
Emily, thanks a lot. Appreciate it. Bloomberg reporter Emily Wilkins. Just a programming note, we're going to carry the Ukrainian president's address to Congress that starts right around 9 o'clock Wall Street time. You can hear it on Bloomberg Radio. Watch it also on Bloomberg Television. Ahead of the cash open on Wall Street, futures solidly in the green this morning. The Dow futures, they're up 362 points, a rise of 1%. The S&P E-mini futures, 53 points higher. That's a rise of 1.25%. And the NASDAQ futures up 240 points, up 1.8%. You've been listening to Bloomberg Daybreak.